Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Matthew 7, and we're focusing on the first verse of that text. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to once again hear your word proclaimed. And as we begin this red letter challenge, Lord, may the words that are heard sink deep into our hearts, and may we do them according to your good and gracious will. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, it's here, first Sunday in Lent, just as I've promised and advertised for many weeks now, we're beginning the red letter challenge, and actually, it's quite simple. We are literally following the red letters of Jesus in the Gospels. Okay? It's that simple. But I must admit something. I was kind of hesitant at first to do the red letter challenge for Lent. I mean, sure, I had heard about all these other churches that had done the red letter challenge and were just singing its praises. And of course, I thought the red letter challenge is a 40-day challenge. And I thought, oh, perfect, 40 days of Lent. Let's follow the 40 days of red letter challenge. I also thought this is an opportunity to get as many people as we can to either start or into our small group ministry. And yet I was hesitant. You know, as I looked through it, I was like, isn't this just another church fad out there? It's going to, you know, blow up and people are going to be doing it and they're going to be excited, but then it's just going to pass away just like that. Isn't this another opportunity also to just constantly focus on our works, what we do? Shouldn't we be focusing on something else for Lent? I mean, isn't Lent all about how sinful we are? How we cannot follow these red letters? And it's also focusing on our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who suffered and died, who shed his own blood, gave up his own life so that we could be saved. So I was hesitant. Why? Why do red letter challenge for Lent? Well, it depends upon how you look at things. How you describe it, what words that you use. And what I use just right now, that's what we're used to hearing for Lent, right? That we are sinners and that we need a Savior, and Jesus is our Savior, and that he suffered and was crucified on the cross to give us that salvation. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. It is 100% true, and it is the focus of our life in Christ, yes. But let me describe it in another way. You and I are not living the life that God intends for us. No. We are falling short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark. We are missing the mark of the life that God would want us to live for him. And others are noticing this. Back in 2007, author David Kinnaman of the Barna Research Group released a landmark book called Unchristian. And all this book was about was asking people who were not part of the Christian church, asking them what they thought about Christians. how would they label them? And they came up with six or seven categories. And they're not pretty. One category was that Christians are too political, that their faith is driven by the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. It didn't matter. Another one was that we're hypocritical. Oh, sure, we put on a good show, but then we don't follow through. Probably one of the most damaging labels was that Christians are judgmental, harshly judgmental. Now remember, these are perceptions of people outside of Christianity, looking at us, looking at the life we're living, and this is what they're coming up with. And we have to ask the question, why? Why is this the perception? Well, once again, how can you describe it? What words would you use? I'm sure a lot of us would say, well, you know what? We're sinners, you know, shrug our shoulders and just say, that's the reality of the situation. But let me describe it a different way. You and I are hearing the words of our Lord, and we are not doing them. Think about it. Many of us have heard countless sermons. We have gone to so many Bible studies and small groups. We have read countless devotional materials. We have had wonderful conversations with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, we've even cracked open our Bibles many, many times. We have heard the words of our Lord. And yet, we're not doing them. Yeah. We're not doing them at all. We're not living that life that God intends, and we are deceiving ourselves big time. That's how James put it. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, because if you don't do that, it's like you're looking in a mirror, and then you walk away, and you completely forget who you are and who you are called to be. If you and I are not doing the words that we hear of the Lord, we are building a house that will not stand in the face of judgment, either from the world or from the Lord himself. This whole idea of building a house, that comes from our text here, in which hearing the words of our Lord and doing them is comparable to someone building a house on one of two foundations, either the solid rock or sand. And Jesus says, if those who hear my words and do them, it's like they're building their house on a rock. It will stand, even though the rains come, the floods come, the winds beat against it, it's not going to fall. It will not fall. But then, he says, if someone hears my words but does not do them, well, it's like building a house on sand. It will fall. It will just crash mightily because it cannot stand under all that rain and floods. It's quite simple. The one who hears the words and does them will stand. The one who hears the words of our Lord and does not do them will not stand. We get this. But it might be helpful to ask the question, what words is Jesus talking about here in Matthew 7? Well, you have to remember that this picture of a wise and foolish builder, this comes at the very end of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has given a ton of words in this sermon. a ton of words of which he says, this is what your life as a disciple of Jesus Christ is meant to be and look like. And we are familiar with many of these words, right? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Don't even be angry with someone because that's murdering them. Don't lust. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't even fast like them. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is also. And on it goes. Turn the other cheek. These are tough words to hear. These are tough words to do. And how will we stand? But that's when we remember that when Jesus says, everyone who hears these words and does them, we have to include all of them, including the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus lays a foundation for the rest of all of his words, in which he says to you and me, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This is the foundation that Jesus is laying before all the other words, and it's the foundation that he lays for you and for me. You know, before we hear these words of Jesus, before we even do these challenging words, we need to hear the foundational words of Jesus. Blessed are you. When we confess that, yes, we are poor in spirit, that's just our spiritual condition. When we confess that we are mourning because of our sin, that we are humbled by it, and we're hungering and thirsting for a righteousness that we cannot get on our own, that's where Jesus says to you, blessed are you, because you have the kingdom of heaven. I give it to you. You are comforted. You will inherit the very earth, and you will receive satisfaction completely and totally. You know, it's when you and I confess that we have no foundation on our own, that we are not living up to what God has intended for us, that we are falling short, that we are missing the mark. That's where Jesus wants us to hear these words, look what I've done for you. Look what I've done. I've come to give you the life that you're supposed to be living. And how did I give it? I suffered for you. I was beaten, I was flogged, I was spit upon, I had a crown of thorns shoved into my scalp, I was crucified and nailed to a cross, and I died there so that I could take away all of that sin and that corruption in your life. My house, my body was destroyed at the cross so I could build a new house, a new life in you. See, we need to hear these foundational words before you and I build this house, before we hear the red letters of Jesus and before we do them. And that's what the red letter challenge is, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's the house that is built on the words of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be looking at five building materials that come from the red letters of Jesus. It's being with him. It's forgiving. it's serving, it's giving, and it's going. When you put these red letters into practice, you will be living the life that God intended for His children. And I encourage all of you to do this. Not because you're going to earn points with God. Not because you're going to show everyone, just look how good I am. Not so you can receive praise from everyone here or praise from your Father in heaven. But so that you can simply follow Jesus. You can represent Him wherever you go. So that you can show the world that Jesus is forgiving. That He serves everyone. That He gives everything, especially eternal life. So maybe it is a good idea to do Red Letter Challenge for Lent. Because when you hear the words of Jesus, and when you do them, you're going to be showing yourself and everyone the house that Jesus is building with the foundation of His love, His death, His resurrection, His love for you.